It's one of life's great paradoxes, is it not, that Ronnie Corbett, undeniably a man of diminutive stature, was in every other respect a giant, a towering talent, whose achievements are piled mountain high. It's true that as a boy, his being small was the source of concern to his anxious mother, and even more so to his anxious Aunt Nell. Indeed, anxious Aunt Nell paid 2 guineas and sent away for a course called How to Become Taller, which involves stretching exercises and the daily repetition of the mantra, every day and in every way I'm getting taller and taller. But there was a problem. He wasn't. He reached the height of 5 feet 1.5 inches, and that's where he stopped. We can all be grateful for that, though, because he gave us the Ronnie we were to come to know, to love, and to admire. Ronnie's first taste of performance came while still a schoolboy, aged just 16, playing the Wicked Aunt in a church youth club Christmas panto. The response of the audience to his performance, they simply loved him, and his reaction to their clear approval was to prove an epiphany. And Ronnie recalled that the experience had been enough to show him the path he should follow for the rest of his life. I never doubted for one moment, he wrote, that I would be an actor, a comic actor, and I never faltered in my ambition. For that epiphany, and for the Church of Scotland Youth Club production of Babes in the Wood, we can all be truly thankful. In a career that stretched over 60 years, and in the face of setbacks and some disappointments, Ronnie's talent, his drive and resolve allowed him to engage with almost every facet of his chosen profession, from cabaret and revue to theatre, playing in farce, pantomime, variety and musicals, and working in both television and film, including, just for good measure, the odd Bond movie. This range and diversity allowed him to develop and flex utterly original comedy muscles. A constant in the early years was work in Danny LaRue's cabaret club, Winston's. It was Danny's club that provided a showcase for Ronnie's talents and where he was spotted by David Frost, who was eager to recruit him for his television comedy show, The Frost Report. The Frost Report teamed Ronnie for the first time with Ronnie Barker and John Cleese, and was to produce a memorable comedy gem in the form of John Law's witty satire of the British class system. Cleverly using the height differences between Cleese, Barker and Corbett, it's become an enduring comedy classic, as has Ronnie's famous line, I know my place. As Ronnie later observed, that sketch, rather like the class system, has survived marvelously well. First performed over 50 years ago, it was one of Ron's all-time favorite pieces. The award-winning Frost Report exposed his talents to a national audience and moved the arc of his career in a decidedly upward direction. Paired again with Ronnie Barker for Frost on Sundays for LWT, they were both to return to BBC television to star in a series called simply The Two Ronnies. The show was to prove a triumphant and enduring success, both for its stars and BBC Light Entertainment. There is no arena more testing in television than the Saturday night schedule, and for 16 years, from 1971 to 1987, upwards of 18 million viewers regularly watched The Two Ronnies on Saturday nights, making each of them household names. In a packed show, we were treated to news items, frequently naughty, film serials, musical parodies, sketches and monologues, and Ronnie C's gifts as a comic performer were more than a match for all the diverse demands made of him. There was nothing he could not master, nothing he could not deliver. His own solo spot, performed seated in his trademark easy chair, was a much anticipated sequence within the show. His monologue was rambling, full of digressions, detours, sidetracks, and comic byways. It was a singular and memorable performance, and Ronnie reserved a special admiration for Spike Mullins and later David Renwick, the creators of these unique monologues. The confluence of their talents was a perfect fit and a triumph for them all. Ronnie's tribute to his collaborators was simple and direct. "I was blessed, really blessed. It's extraordinary that for all those years, I only had two writers for my solo spot." In what many consider to be a golden age of BBC entertainment, Ronnie provided more than his fair share of the lustre. Indeed, for 7 successful seasons, he also starred in his own hit BBC sitcom, Sorry. He was gifted with a sharp and intuitive editorial mind, and in the pursuit of excellence, he set the bar very high. He himself always gave a highly polished performance. Assiduous in rehearsal, he was word, move, and pitch perfect. He was fiercely professional and took great pride in that fact. But above all, he was the comedy alchemist who lifted the word from the page and transformed it into echoing golden laughter. The comedy sketch that has immortalized them both is unquestionably Four Candles. During the read-through and rehearsal for the Four Candles sketch, Ronnie C. found it supremely difficult to perform. Difficult to perform, that is, without breaking down in shoulder-shaking mirth and many times helpless laughter. Even before an audience had seen it, both Terry Hughes, who directed the show, and both the Ronnies knew that they had a comedy classic in the making. You will recall that Ronnie B. serves the lines deadpan across the counter, allowing Ronnie C. to display the frustration and aggravation at the multiple misunderstandings. Four candles. No. Handles for forks. All the looks, gestures, and muttered words of irritation were created by Ronnie C. as he juxtaposed word to action. A comic tour de force, and a fine example of the two Ronnies playing to their strengths. With a generosity of spirit so typical of him, Ronnie characterized their work together by saying, "The success of the sketch was all that mattered to us. We were a true team." In the darkest night of the spirit, perhaps laughter is the signal that we are fully and defiantly still standing. And when a great laughter maker falls silent, the world for a moment stops turning. Our much-loved Ronnie did not leave the world in want for happiness. He has left us a rich treasure house filled to the brim with joyous laughter. Today, we salute the achievements of one of the greatest of our entertainers and give thanks for the talents bestowed on him. Ronnie not only achieved his boyhood ambitions, but he triumphantly surpassed them, and he achieved fame and stardom, and along the way, the affection and admiration of an entire nation. Aunt Nell need never have worried.